Welcome to the Leadership Insights Podcast, the podcast that takes you on a journey into the world of leadership, offering a deep dive into the minds of accomplished leaders from various fields around the world. I'm your host, Amanda Jane, originally from the north of Ireland and now living in beautiful Cheshire, England. Together, we'll explore the strategies, experiences, and wisdom that have shaped these incredible leaders into the visionaries they are today through solo episodes and interviews. I'm a leadership and communications coach myself, and I'm passionate about promoting a coaching culture in the workplace, as well as empowering leaders to flourish personally and thrive professionally. Whether you're a seasoned executive, an aspiring leader in business, or someone simply fascinated by the art of leadership, each episode will provide valuable insights, practical tips, and inspiring stories. So get ready for a dose of motivation, innovation, and leadership brilliance on the Leadership Insights Podcast, brought to you by amandajane.co.uk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Leadership Insights Podcast. And today I have with me Sue Eller. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Amanda. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you for joining me. And you're from Eat Well, Feel Great. Is that right?
Eat Well, Feel Great is the name of my company. I'm a health, vitality and weight loss coach.
Well, that sounds incredible. And I'm really excited because I haven't talked to anyone about that side of well-being on this podcast. So it's a new one for me and we will get to that shortly. But first, we have to do the most important piece before we start. Do you have a favourite motivational song?
Actually, yeah, I do. A song that I've always loved my whole life, like since the 80s, is a song by the Christians called The Perfect Moment. And rather than being exactly motivational, it just helps me to remember that this moment is beautiful and that there's joy and bliss in every moment.
Yeah, that's lovely. And sometimes the only thing you really have is this moment, isn't it?
Exactly. And I forget that very easily.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice that we have these mindful practices to bring us back to remember that, because life is so fast and we're whizzing here, there and everywhere. No, I love that. That is beautiful.
Listen to it. You'll love it.
I will add that to the playlist that will publish on my own website. And do you have a favorite motivational quote?
Motivational quote? Yes. So as well as being, you know, as well as what I do for a living, I also run choirs, natural voice choirs. I love to get people singing in harmony. And one of my favorite quotes is something that I've got my brother engraved on a wooden bowl for me.
Ooh.
And it's, if I cannot fly, let me sing.
Oh.
And again, this is about embracing the bliss in every moment, you know, singing. What singing does for people, and a lot of people haven't discovered this yet, is it just gives them that bliss, that connection, that real in the moment joy, uplifted feeling. Mm-hmm. So if I cannot fly, let me sing, and everybody can sing. So I really love that quote for that reason.
And that's incredible as well, because singing's very mindful. Because it's the, what you just focus on singing, don't you? You're focusing on the words, you're focusing on the tune, and you're just completely invested in that moment. Oh, I love that you put that on a bowl. That is beautiful. And do you have a favorite book?
Yes, I do. And I've chosen Gay Hendricks' The Big Leap. Now, I'm not a great reader, and I don't read fiction at all, I'm afraid. It's been decades since I read fiction. And the reason for that is probably because I've got an ADHD style brain and I always need to be being productive. Mm-hmm. I need to be reading for self-development or for business or for information. And when I read fiction, I find it can be enjoyable, but very often afterwards I'll think, well, that was nice, but it was a big waste of time.
Interesting point of view. Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. So you always have to be learning, productive. You've always got to keep absorbing information in that case.
Exactly. And so I've chosen Gay Hendricks' The Big Leap because I think that was the book that helped me realize that the only thing that holds us back is our own limiting beliefs. And that has been a massive lesson for me over the years. And you know what? When I'm reading these personal development, self-development books, they do give me what other people get from fiction. You know, they do give me that sense of being connected, that sense of downtime, because I'm in my element reading books like that. I do much prefer to listen on audio than to read, because I find it quite tiring to read with my eyes. But if anybody feels like they kind of they know that they want to achieve more in their lives, but they feel like something's holding them back, read The Big Leap,
I
because
love
it's
that. Yeah.
yeah.
That sounds that's I'm going to add that to the my ever expanding list of books. And when people on this podcast talk about the books that they've read, they do it with such passion, and I'm immediately hooked and dying to add it to my list. But that sounds incredible and really rings true. And interesting what you say about your choice of what you read. It's entirely up to you what you read, and everyone has a different thing that lights them up. And fiction is not for everyone. And if you like to be productive and you like to learn and it engages your brain, that is a wonderful, it's still reading, it's fantastic. So that sounds incredible. I will definitely read that one. And
Yeah,
it's very
great.
thought-provoking, isn't it? That it is your own limiting beliefs. Thank you for that. Thank you
My
so
pleasure.
much. So on to my questions. So can you share your leadership journey and any milestones that have shaped your career?
So my leadership journey, in my 20s, I got into a career as a software engineer in software delivery. And so I found my feet very, very quickly, and I wanted to go on to do big things. So I wanted to get on to project management and customer kind of delivery of projects, working with an end customer, that kind of thing. And I was climbing the ladder pretty rapidly. And then what happened was, so I was working in Cardiff University. Okay. And I was serving some of the, shall we say, the professors and the school leaders, those people that were using Apple Mac. And my particular specialty was helping people with productivity with Apple Mac. Okay. And so this was my passion. And the problem that I found in the university was I couldn't quite find a leadership role that allowed me to do what I loved. So in that field, if I'd gone into, so I did become a manager, and it wasn't actually Apple Mac support, it was in software testing management. So I'm now in a management position, even though I was only part-time as a mum to young kids. I'm now in a management position on a part-time salary, which felt good because that was nice and steady. Software testing was something that I was passionate about, but here's the problem. What I was passionate about was coaching others, mentoring others, helping others get really good, whether it was using their computers or using software, or whether it was helping teams know how to test software. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to guide, to mentor. But when you're working for an employer, there's a certain role that you have to step into, right? You don't always have the luxury of designing your own role. And so I started to realize that in order to truly flourish in the thing that I felt that I could contribute most with, which is coaching within IT, I was going to need to go self-employed. And so it was, 25 years I was in software engineering and software development. And I started to really find my feet in the field of software testing. And if I'd stayed, I think within a couple of years, I'd have been on stage sharing, my frameworks and my thoughts and my ideas. So that was the direction I was heading in, but then something happened which changed everything. And maybe we can come to that in a second, but when I had a health transformation, that changed everything, because that was a complete turn of career. But maybe we can come to that. But in terms of the forecast projected career in leadership, yeah, I was on a path, but it wasn't an easy path to do working for an employer for me, because it didn't quite fit the, what do we call it?
The
Fit
mold.
the mold. Yeah, exactly. I knew I needed to do my own thing.
Fascinating. Wow. So we'll get to your second stage shortly. Wow, I'm completely hooked. So before we get on to that then, maybe we've got a before and after. So have you had any role models that have inspired that leadership style. So I imagine the leadership style was formed before, and you've probably been influenced during that time. Has anyone in particular inspired you? And it doesn't have to be anyone famous.
That's a really good question, because I forget very easily. And so I think, looking back, the people that have inspired me have actually not been corporate at all. The people that
Interesting.
have always inspired me have been the entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I remember what stands out clearly for me is like Richard Branson,
Yeah.
the movers and shakers, the people who are actually making a difference in the world, and who are at the same time are just nice.
Yeah.
That the just really heartfelt, purpose-driven, approachable,
Compassionate. Yeah.
passionate, human. So I think the really admirable entrepreneurs, the ones that were really making a difference in the world, Richard Branson stands out, but there are so many.
Yeah. And sometimes I think, because I seem to have spent my life looking around me, looking for inspiration and role models. And it's been a recurring theme in my life. And if someone new comes along, or, they kind of have to go through my seal of approval. And I'll think, yes, she's a suitable role model. I'm a mother of two
Absolutely.
grown up daughters. And they sort of go through, if anyone is influential, and I'll think, yes, that's suitable. That's a good person. But I think it's important, no matter who they are, where they're from, if there's something that is inspirational, or that they've done something that's impacted you or made you stop and think.
And you know what? You've got me thinking as well now that there are women, female entrepreneurs that have really inspired me. And this is since my corporate career. But people like Joanna Martin, of one of many, more local to me, Andrea Callanan, she's an amazing businesswoman. She started leading choirs in Cardiff as well. She's now got a fantastic business as a high-end coach. She's met Richard Branson, she's been to his
Wow.
island. And another one that is I'm working quite closely with now, and some of your listeners may know of, Nicola Peake. She's shown everybody how she's really leading the way with leading communities and bringing people together to have a good time, and to really network in person and have a lot of
Yeah.
fun as well.
Yeah.
So people like that, I've just named a few. There are so many
Yeah.
more. But I, these are the people who, like, they've built their own businesses, and they're showing us exactly what can be done, just by you've got just by connecting, having a good idea, having the confidence to get out there and put yourself, in the world of business and networking, and show up, and anything is possible.
Yeah, in their authentic self, with no
In their
sort of
authentic
veneer,
self.
and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One other
So,
that I'd love to mention is Stephen Bartlett. And
yeah,
he's even
he's a
more
real
recent.
mover and shaker these days, isn't he? Yeah.
What I really love about him is that, of course, he's an amazing entrepreneur. But what I really love about him is that he's so passionate about personal development,
Yeah.
and he listens to the gurus. This, he's young, there's a little bit of an ego, you can tell, but it's a nice kind of ego. And actually, when he's got his podcast and he brings in all these gurus, he really learns from them, and you can see the growth in him. I love that. I'm passionate about personal growth.
Yeah. I must listen to his podcast. I follow him on LinkedIn, and what I've noticed, if I open up the app, it's usually one of something that he's put on his page, and every single thing that he puts on LinkedIn is meaningful, wise, resonates, and you read it and you go, yeah, actually, it's just a handful of words on the screen, but it's so deep and meaningful, and seems to resonate with me every single time I open that app. And yeah, he does seem to be willing to learn, absorb, and take all everything that he can get, and learn from people who've gone before him. And yeah, he's definitely one to. I will listen to his podcast now. I'll add another thing to my list. But yeah, he's interesting. He's influencing people in the right way, and
In the right
influencing the
way.
younger people in the right way.
Yeah. And he's got a heart of gold,
Yeah.
there's nothing bad about him at all. He's
No.
he's a really good role model for the kids.
It is. It's nice to see. So, if you could give a piece of advice to an aspiring leader, or perhaps your younger self, what would that be?
Absolutely believe that anything is possible. And if you want to make it happen, you can. Just keep looking for the answers. You know, you've got to be tenacious. There is always an answer. Rather than saying to yourself, oh, I'd love to do that, but I couldn't because, reframe it, turn it around and say, well, I'd love to do that. This thing is the thing that holds me back. Let's identify what the thing is, that maybe it's fear, maybe it's insecurity, maybe there's not enough belief. If you can identify what the thing is that's holding you back, there is a solution and there is somebody that can help you with that. So if you want to make it happen, you can find, you know, with a little bit of help and seeking around, you will find the right person to help you. And that's all that growth and business is, really. Mm-hmm. It's always identifying the thing that's holding you back and finding the person or training program that can help you through it.
Definitely. And helping you to plug that gap. And people do that, don't they? Oh, I would do that, but I can't because of this, because of that. And I think we're always very good at putting obstacles in our own way, but you're absolutely right. There is no hurdle that can't be overcome. There's nothing that can't be learned or found online or do a little bit of research. And you've got to be so resilient. You've got to keep, you know, you do get knockbacks and you've got to get up and you've got to do it again. You've got to do it again. But if you want something badly enough, there is a way to circumnavigate that and get over it. But yeah, that's a really good advice to younger self or someone coming through the ranks.
Can I add a part B to that?
You can.
Part B, and it's along the same lines, but it's absolutely critical that you join the right networks and memberships.
Yeah.
And it might start off very low cost. You know, I'm in a membership that costs about £10 a month, and that has been invaluable to me.
Yeah.
The wonderful Sarah Price. I'm in another membership with Catherine Watkin. These are some of the women who have guided me into my journey, starting off a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can do it on your own, you know, as a one woman band, but you do need the guidance of somebody who knows how they, you know, somebody who's been through it themselves and knows all the tricks. So joining the right networks and memberships and the right mentorship is critical.
And they can shave years off your journey, because someone gave me a really, what on the surface would look like not that critical piece of advice. And I'm in a few memberships and I asked a question and they gave me this piece of advice. And I sat back and I thought, it would have taken me about 2 years to learn that by myself. And it's that, really, you know, it's that shortcut to, and I don't mean shortcut for shortcut's sake. I mean, paying for good advice and
fast track.
Yeah, and a fast track and knowing the people that can give you the advice. And you do kind of have to know the right places to go and join these places, but you can do it. But also, you know, having a question, but that someone can give you that answer that you need. And you may need to be very specific with the questioning, but that particular question that was answered, and I was grateful to that person for answering it, but genuinely, it would have taken me 2 years to carry on doing what I was doing to come to that conclusion. And it was just pure gold, but I don't even think that person realized
instead of reinventing the wheel, listen to somebody who's done it before.
Yeah.
And that's their way. If you want to, you can listen to three or four people who've done it before and follow the path that resonates best for you. Mm-hmm. But do follow somebody who's done it before.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to do exactly what you said, which is spend 2 years reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
And then you'll realize that you could have fast-tracked by just following somebody who'd done it before. That's the whole point of it, isn't it?
Definitely. And, you know, there's so many people, and you've said some names and I'm going to be writing them down and I'm going to be researching them, and everything's a stepping stone. I've noticed that. And, you know, someone will mention a name and I'll go and research it, and that brings you to the next person and the next person. And I just literally absorb everything that I can, you know, research online. And if someone recommends something, I love that. And I love that stepping stone approach that people have recommended. So what about communication? How important do you think it is in leadership? And can you think of any examples where it went right or wrong for you? That's always a nice question.
It's a really, you know, it's huge, this question.
If we now go down to social media, maybe, if that can give you a better focus, because it is quite huge.
It's a huge question. I'm thinking back to my career and all the times when I haven't communicated my needs clearly enough. or my strengths or my weaknesses, you know. And I'm thinking back to times where if I'd known that I have an ADHD style brain, if I'd known how to communicate that, things would have been so different in my career, mm-hmm. you know. So so understanding and communicating your needs yeah. and your unique traits in a way that's going to get you the support you need. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking in terms of my corporate career. But when I think about now as a self-employed entrepreneur and social media, wow. So communication, I've been working a hell of a lot lately on my messaging. And what that means is when I'm speaking to somebody, it comes naturally to me, and my empathy comes across, and my compassion and my values and my drive, it comes across in my body language and in my face and in my appearance and everything. You try and put that in a text-based post. How do you communicate that? The empathy, the caring, the values, yeah. and that's an art. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes most of us need help with that. Mm-hmm. And even though I've been doing social media for many years now, I've recently started working with an amazing woman, Cece Regan, who is absolutely brilliant at helping you craft exactly what you want to say and how you want people to feel in a text written post.
Fascinating,
right? Mm-hmm. That is a real art, and it's not somebody else's words, it's not Cece's words. She's helping draw those words out of me, whereas maybe because I've got a slightly autistic brain, my tendency is to write like it's a database specification,
or it's very literal, yeah,
very
yeah.
literal, yeah. very functional, very possibly abrupt. Mm-hmm. And so what Cece is helping me do is like, how do you want them to feel? What are you trying to say here? Well, how would you say it to me if you were talking to me? Ah, right. So she's helping me find the right words and the right messaging so that I can connect with my perfect client.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And for me, the art of communication across all spectrums, it's what really draws me in. And you know, body language, as you mentioned, and nuances and the words, it's something I'll be forever fascinated by, and how people circumnavigate it, how they use it to the best advantage, and trying to get the messages across. And people like that, you know, when they can concisely convey what you want to say in a couple of words, you know, they are the geniuses of the world. If they can come up with that concise message, and you're right, everything is in the messaging, and you can get it wrong and you can get it right. My particular, shall I say, not quite a hobby, but when the big names get it wrong, and I will sit back in horror, and I'm not going to name any because we can Google them. But if you imagine the big worldwide brands, and they've got these big marketing campaigns, and I understand how approvals work and the design concept, so I know from concept right the way up, come up with these advertising campaigns, they get approved, and then they launch, and they get it wrong, and it baffles me. And I think, when did you think that was a good idea? You know, it's those things that are so huge that maybe hundreds of people have been involved in the process, and no one actually thought of when that bit was wrong. So, it, you know, you're talking those things on a global scale, but when you're talking about entrepreneurs like us, you know, we've got to be so careful, and we're paying attention to every single word. But if those big companies can get it wrong, and us tiny little entrepreneurs spend so much time getting it right, it just shows you that gap and the effort that goes into these small businesses in making sure it's perfect.
Do you know what? You've just beautifully articulated something that I was passionate about and still am, but from my corporate career as a software testing manager. One of the things that big corporates get wrong is that they don't include their language, their messaging, the manuals, the training, all the wording. They don't include that when they're doing their testing. They think of software testing as being something where you have to test the buttons, right? Testing is everything that a company does, you know. So whatever it is you're delivering, whether it's software, whether it's a product suite, whether it's an experience, whatever it is, the whole thing needs testing, including the language and the communication. Mm-hmm. And very often what they get wrong is they leave that till the end. And they and
As
when
an
they get
afterthought.
as an afterthought.
Yeah.
And if the if you go right back to the beginning and then include testing, validation, checking, user feedback.
Yeah.
End user feedback right from the beginning, rather than leaving it all till the end, then you've got a much more effective company. And in the world of software testing, we call that agile.
And it's funny because people will take their perceptions from that and they'll think, oh, well, I don't care. You know, and it's not that they haven't actively sought to not care about you. It's just that they've been so focused on the process, they haven't built in the rest of yeah. No, it is, it's endlessly fascinating, isn't it? So we'll move on because I need to get to the part two of what you were talking about. So is it time yet? Can we get to part two?
Please do.
So your corporate career and now the second part.
Yeah. So I, as I said, I thought I was going self-employed. I knew it was going to be self-employed, but I thought it was going to be as a software testing consultant. Mm-hmm. So I was all gearing up for this self-employment. I know how to do my own tax returns and that kind of thing. And I was getting some business advice. And then what happened was lockdown. And in lockdown, we all started working from home, didn't we? And I really enjoyed that. And so that kind of freed up a little bit of space. I started looking for something that would solve a problem for me. And the problem I've had for a long time, decades, in fact, is managing my weight. Right back to when I was in my teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. Always struggled with weight gain and this, like, how can I, dieting, could never stick to a diet, failing at diets, feeling like a failure because I couldn't follow it. And I couldn't follow it because it was too restrictive or because I had too much of a good social life. And I started thinking, this cannot be right. Other people can manage to have a social life and can don't have to diet and they can keep their weight down. What is it about me? So I kept on looking for the solution. I gave up dieting because I realized that it wasn't supporting me. So anyway, in 2020, around the summer of 2020, I discovered something new. It wasn't new.
I am hooked.
Never heard of it before. It was a program that educated you to eat in the way that your body was designed to eat. And this was a revelation for me because my whole life I've been asking myself, how are we meant to be eating?
True.
You know, are we meant to be having breakfast? Are we meant to be having toast? Are we meant to be eating things like bread and pizza? Are we meant to be eating, you know, chicken? And we met, and it'd always been fascinating to me. And I thought, oh, I'd love to know how we're meant to be eating. Well, this program turns out that when we eat more aligned with the way human beings evolved to eat.
Which makes sense because we're not built to eat processed food.
So moving away from ultra processed food and back to towards all natural, in fact, seasonal way of eating. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it's spring outside, we have to eat in a spring-like way. Actually, what I've discovered is that eating in a spring-like way at any time of the year gives you really high energy, healing, and weight release. Who knew that? And I didn't know what eating in a spring-like way was, but it turns out that there's all these health benefits from eating in a spring-like way. And so I went on the 90-day program. I released 20 pounds in weight, which was effectively two dress sizes for me.
I mean, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I was wearing baggy clothes to hide the lumps and bumps. And so I went down essentially from a 16 to 18 to a 12 to 14, should we say. So it what it meant, it's not about your weight or your body size or your shape. I believe in body confidence no matter mm-hmm. what, you know. But what it meant for me is that now when I look in the mirror, I look the way I want to look. I look the way I believe I am on the inside. So like my identity physically is now a true reflection of me.
So so you feel you look the way you're supposed to look in a natural state, eating in the natural way.
Exactly. So I'm eating in a natural way. That's not, I'm not a purist. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I still have lovely indulgences like wine and chocolate, mm-hmm. etc. But it's much more conscious now. Mm-hmm. 80-90% of my eating is clean and natural. Mm-hmm. And the difference is I no longer think I I have to eat in a certain, I should be eating this, I should be eating that. Now it's, I want to eat for health. So I learned how to want to eat for health. I'm maintaining that weight loss. And I know how to gain weight because there's a party season as well as a weight loss season. Autumn's party season, right?
You know, sounds good.
Autumn is the is the season where humans ate loads of sweet foods and carby foods and gained fat on their bodies.
Survived to store for the winter.
Store for the winter. We came through a winter which actually there wasn't a lot around at all. Fasting, enforced fasting. So there's health benefits in the winter season as well. Interesting. And so we have these four seasons. So this is how we would have evolved. So now the program that I coach, the program I went through, I'm now a master coach, teaches the health benefits of all four food seasons. And how to do any of those seasons depend at any time of the year, depending on what you want. So for example, if somebody wanted to gain energy, mental focus, productivity, really, really good for intense weeks in business.
Yeah.
Eating in a spring-like way puts you into that high energy state when you're in fat burning and weight comes off and inflammation decreases and you feel vibrant and amazing. And then when you go on holiday or you throw in a party, we eat in an autumn-like way because it's full of beautiful nature sweet treats.
Do you know, it's so fascinating, and like you, I'm more for the body positive, but I always think to myself, what were we designed to do as humans? And I always go back to the Stone Age, strange analogy, I know, but that's what we were built as Stone Age humans, weren't we, initially? So we were supposed to eat what was in front of us, and what you just said makes complete sense. And you've heard Davina McCall, she talks about the poison of sugar and how we're all addicted, and that's not a natural product, and it's in everything, the hidden sugar in food that you would never dream where you'd find sugar. But it makes absolute perfect sense and I've never heard it described as seasonal food, and you've just made me think, wow, this is perfectly logical. Winter, when the food is more scarce and you would eat beforehand because you would it's cold and whatever. But that sounds absolutely fascinating and I love it.
Yeah, and it just works. And so it's a program that's been done by over 300,000 people in the world. And it just works, and it works because it's not the next gimmick. It's not a new gift. It's just a re-education about how we eat in the way as closely aligned as we can with our ancestors, but not in a way that's boring and just like eating rabbit food. No, there's a modern spin on it. You can make foods taste absolutely delicious and yet out of all. Imagine a Michelin star chef and all they have to work with is fruit, vegetables, eggs, meat, fish, nuts, seeds, spices, and oils.
Nicest food in the world.
Fantastic. Yeah. They don't use ultra processed foods, you know? So you don't need to be a Michelin star chef, but when you learn some easy tricks, how to make a delicious curry, how to make a delicious coleslaw, a delicious casserole, a delicious with all those lovely flavors available to you in nature, then you can make it quick and easy and convenient and delicious. And that's what I coach.
That sounds amazing. And you know, we were talking about role models earlier. One of my fears as the mother of two daughters, I was always terrified that they were going to be influenced by ridiculous diets, ridiculous lollipop diets, starve yourself for a week and fit into, and thank goodness they didn't. But that influence was what terrified me. What young girls thought as the norm. And you know, you said you asked yourself, what should I be eating? Should I be eating toast? Should I be eating this? I used to ask myself, am I supposed to not eat to be thin? Is that how you stay thin? Are you supposed to not eat? And I understood that, you know, the 16-hour fasting and you eat within a certain time frame. I understand that from a metabolism point of view. And I always look for the science behind things because I'm no way convinced. I mean, it's just not healthy to not eat. And sometimes you have these calorie diets where you only eat this amount of calories. And I've tried a few, and I'm always very sensible because I have a funny metabolism anyway, and I would faint. But I eat when I'm hungry. And if I get too hungry, I will eat everything. Because if I get to the starving stage, and I think to myself, this isn't right, I shouldn't be this hungry. So when you were saying about should I eat bread, should I eat this, that's where I've always been. What is it exactly that I'm supposed to eat to not feel starved, you know, so I don't feel starving all day?
Do you know what? The intermittent fasting is a fascinating one. And you've hit the nail on the head. We did evolve to go long periods of time without food because we'd be in our camps. There's no food in our camps. If we want food, we've got to go out and get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got to go out either gathering fruit and vegetables or hunting. And so, but it was always away from the camp. So here's what I think. When you wake up in the morning and you get that first bout of hunger is saying, Let's get out of the cave. Let's get out of the cave. Yeah. We've got to find food. And you're like, okay. You've got to get kids ready and I've got to get we've got to sort this and deal with that animal and this fire and find some water there. And if you've ever noticed, if you've ever done intermittent fasting, that first hunger pang, you have a glass of water because that's what you really need. And then it goes for another hour. It goes. And then it's like, right, okay, so now we really got to find this fruit. Come on, team. Let's go find the vegetables. I would never recommend anybody start even intermittent fasting unless they're properly nourished. This is critical. So if we're eating the typical ultra-processed diet or, you know, a lot of chips and bread, a lot of, you know, these kinds of things, very low in nutrition, we're probably undernourished in certain nutritional requirements. And so my belief is that people have to learn how to eat for health first, and then they can start doing some fasting that feels right for their body. Mm-hmm. I'm a great fan of intermittent fasting for those who are properly nourished. Mm-hmm. My program, we even coach a little fast that's a bit longer than that. It could be a day, two, or even 3 days, but not until they've come almost all the way through the program and they know exactly what they're doing and they've identified which hunger is speaking.
Yeah. Interesting. So someone who like me, if I suddenly went, oh, I'm going to start intermittent fasting and I didn't eat for that wouldn't, and I know that wouldn't suit my body if I suddenly decide I'm going to do 16 hours. That is so fascinating. And it's, again, I'm always saying this, we don't get taught this stuff in school. I know they did like home economics and they taught us how to be good housewives and cook these things, but they taught us the nutritional value of fruit and what have you, but not the long-term benefits of energy and alertness and maybe the benefits of not, you know, having that gap of not eating, and do you know what I mean, and the mental alertness. And I think to myself, how did I get to this age and I'm not well educated enough on these things that I'm suddenly deciding I need to learn more about this? And I'm really grateful that we've had this podcast today, because I love it when people make me go and Google stuff, and I'm going to be looking at your program because it's amazing. But it's I think it's great that I'm being educated on something at my age, which is incredible, but it's fascinating. And so it was lockdown that prompted you to start that research, and now you have this program and this is what you coach. So where can we find that online? Where else can we get more information?
Yeah, so I've got a website which is my name, sueella.com. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram with my name, Sue Ella. Luckily, I think I'm the only one in the world. You'll certainly find me if you remember how to spell my last name, Ellar.
Well, I will put all those links on the show notes of the podcast, so everyone will be able to click through. That will be there. So just for me to say thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. So fascinating to listen to your story and listen to you go from this software engineer and this fantastic transition. And I love that as well, because if you'd asked me to guess what you used to do in your previous life, because we did chat before we pressed record, I never would have guessed. But isn't that the joy of life, to go from one profession that maybe when you were doing it you never thought you would have veered away from, to go into this other thing, and then we mentioned the singing as well. But thank you so much. That was fascinating, and I have loved every second of it.
My absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Insights podcast today, and special thanks to my lovely guest, Sue Ellar. You will see some changes to my podcast over the coming episodes as I shift my focus to communication. We'll still be looking at leadership, but I'll be widening the scope of the podcast to include a greater variety of communication-related content, which is more aligned to my membership and courses. We'll still have guest interviews as well as solo episodes from me, and I'll be inviting expert speakers onto the podcast to shake things up a bit. The new podcast is called the Communicate with Confidence Podcast, and I hope you'll join me as we explore my passion. Bye for now.